Here's Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe. Hello, Mr. Ryan. How are you?
Okay, before we get to that, I want to take this opportunity to correct an impression that's been given over the last few days. Ernie Banks was one of two Chicago Cubs African-Americans who debuted in the same year. And the other one has been forgotten. His name was Gene Baker. He was the second baseman. And the reason it's important is that at the time, they were considered the equals. It was all about Baker and Banks. Okay, that's number one.
Gotcha.
Number two, 2 weeks is ideal for two reasons. It's, if you're involved, the logistics are insurmountable almost in 1 week. And number two is that it gives teams the chance to heal and give their best possible performance. So 2 weeks is very important.
All right, I'll buy
okay,
it.
Now, where were we? Where were we?
What happened to Baker? Can I ask that first? Baker and Banks, what happened to Baker?
He wasn't that good. Gene Baker turned out not to be very good. You can go Google and find this respectable Peter thing. He didn't want, but believe me, he was considered the equal. It was all about this wonderful second, the double play combo they had brought up. Ernie Banks and Gene Baker, or in the eyes of some people, Gene Baker and Ernie Banks.
We may address more of that. I want one issue on Deflategate, and it's this. It was expected that the National Football League would take 3 or 4 days, and by mid to late last week, they would make some kind of pronouncement. We are still sitting here tapping our foot like Sonic the Hedgehog, waiting for them to say something. Is it, in your mind, obligatory for the National Football League to make some sort of definitive statement before Sunday's Super Bowl?
If it could be that the definitive statement will be, we honestly don't have the answer yet. That honest to God, as foolish as this may sound, this is a mystery that has confounded us, and we are trying to solve it. It may be that simple. They'd love to have it solved, of course. But that's where we lay.
Are you okay with that?
I'm okay. Look, you know, I laugh at the league. See, I'm an NFL folk, and I love it when the NFL squirms. It doesn't bother me in the least. So the fact that there's a cloud over there, great party, doesn't bother me at all. That's me.
I understand. And I don't think this is, and I think you agree, I don't think this is that big a deal. I think there are issues here, but they could be easily rectified by a rule change, by an operational change where the NFL controls the footballs, you know, during the course from the time the quarterbacks choose them until game time and then through the game, and that would solve all of this nonsense. And I think that's exactly what the NFL will do. As for punishing the New England Patriots, you better find a culprit. And if you can't find one, I don't know what you can do. But let's put that aside.
Okay.
The Patriots have been getting some money in Las Vegas and elsewhere as the line has moved a little bit. That's not uncommon for a Super Bowl. It's not a dramatic move. But are you in any way surprised that the public, at this point at least, seems to think New England has a better than 50-50 chance of winning this football game?
Before the respective conference championship games were played, I did go on record as saying that if Seattle were to play New England, Seattle would be a double-digit favorite.
Wow.
That's how formidable I took Seattle to be at that time. Now, we saw that game against the Packers, which is more of a Packer giveaway than it was a Seattle triumph. So, and then we watched the Patriots obliterate the Colts. And I think those two things can change a vast change of mind in the public. And that's why I think that narrowed the gap.
Do you then, therefore, I assume... Well, I shouldn't assume anything. Do you like Seattle in this game?
Yes. I like Seattle in a field goal game, a close game. But I'm always a percentage chance guy. So I would say that Seattle has got a 53% chance to win the game, which means that if the Patriots win, no big deal. And I just think Seattle's a little bit better.
Which do you think has to happen for the Patriots to prevail? The offense is better than Seattle's very good defense, or New England's defense rises up and shuts down what is an efficient but not overwhelming Seattle offense?
Oh, I think it's the Patriots needing to score at least in the 20s, and that's going to be hard. Their great issue is Wilson and Wilson alone. Even I know Lynch is a monster, beast mode, all that, but their receivers are good, not great. And it's about Wilson making improvisational theater plays. If they can restrict him from making successful improvisational theater plays, I think Lynch can run for 150, and they could still win the game.
Bob, to me, that's the story going into this game, too, because New England's had problems this year with quarterbacks who can run the ball, and now they're facing a quarterback, you know, maybe nobody better at quarterback than running the ball than Wilson. How do they stop him from getting outside the pocket and just going on a mad run?
That's why it helps to have the smartest kid in the class as your coach. And Bill Belichick can be expected to come up with something pretty good. They also have one individual that is physically capable of being used in a variety of ways and could possibly be a quasi-spy on Wilson while still doing other things, and that is Jamie Collins. Jamie Collins has emerged as a tremendous young force in this league and a great weapon for Belichick and his defensive coordinator. And so perhaps I think he would play a primary role in trying to contain Wilson.
Offensively, I love that we already got some trash talk. Jeremy Lane, cornerback for Seattle, he says he actually doesn't think Rob Gronkowski's that good. How big a role could Gronkowski play in this game?
The reason he said was he thought that Gronkowski doesn't, quote, like to be touched, unquote, which is just preposterous. Preposterous. Now, I think everyone agrees that it is not a good policy to allow Gronkowski to run unfettered 15 to 30 yards down the field. You can't do that. Somebody's got to put a hand on him at some point. You think they haven't tried then? I mean, so Gronkowski will be fine. By the way, he has taken the high road on this and ignored it.
At this point, do those kinds of comments, that we used to call them bulletin board comments, where teams would post these kinds of things, you know, in their locker room and say, hey, look at what they're saying about you. Does that kind of stuff mean anything anymore? Does it motivate? Can it be impactful?
I think it's all an individual thing. In Gronkowski's case, he plays like a maniac every game he plays anyway.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to file this one away. Though he acted in a different manner publicly, I have to think that he will take this and embrace it and have some fun. And if he has any opportunity to run over Mr. Lane, he will do so.
Bob, do you think New England will get that? Well, will they try to use that crazy creative offense, a tackle running off the line, catching a touchdown? Will they be able to get away with that against a team like Seattle?
More than likely not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what, you know, but on the other hand, there might be an opportunity for a fake or a flea flicker at the opportune moment. Perhaps they catch one of their defensive backs in a constant situation where he's fighting on the run, and maybe a flea flicker would work. And I don't know what where it all ends with Belichick, because he has proven himself to be as resourceful as any coaches we've ever seen.
With Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe, Wilson is an intriguing quarterback. In the NFC Championship game, he was pretty horrible for the first 50 minutes of that game. There wasn't a whole lot that he did that was commendable. And yet, give him credit. He pulled the rabbit out of the hat. He needed a break on the onside kick. He needed some things to go right for him, but he was able to do it. What are your expectations of his performance in a Super Bowl? If you're a Seattle fan, are you concerned about the first 50 minutes of the NFC Championship game, or are you focusing on the last 10 minutes?
After what I've seen the last 2 years, I dismiss those first 55 minutes, and I focus on the last five. That I would think that my guy can do what he needs to do. I'm a huge fan of this guy, and I think he's a scary force, and I think I would have every confidence were I on the Seattle side.
Let's turn away from the Super Bowl for just a second before we let you go. Here we go again. Josh Gordon gets caught for a third time. The first time he tested positive for codeine, I think it was. Then he gets hit for marijuana. Now it's alcohol. He faces a one-year suspension. He essentially got a one-year suspension last year, had it reduced to 10 games. I don't know whether this is the end of his career, but surely it's the end of his time with the Cleveland Browns. What are your thoughts?
I'm listening to a lot of conversation about him today, and he appears to be one of these people who is perplexing sort of in a John Lucas way, sort of. He's not stupid. He appears to have a very addictive personality, and he needs help. And he's an enormous talent. He's a Hall of Fame level talent, and he's not some uneducated jerk. He does these things out of an addictive personality, and I think if they spend it for a year, and if he comes to grips with this, gets the help he needs, then maybe he can salvage his career.
Now, was he subject to the alcohol testing because of, was it a DUI? Now, I find it somewhat unsettling that an NFL player can be suspended for alcohol, given that the league basically throws beer at you every 30 seconds while you're trying to watch a game.
Well, that's an inherent contradiction that we all have to live with and understand. And there's always been a distinction made between alcohol and drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And drugs are illegal. Alcohol is not. Next question.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, when you're caught twice, you got to pay the price.
Right. You're under the law when you break the law with. And I am not making light of the situation, but I'm trying to explain the business back of the business of alcohol sponsorship and the legality of alcohol versus the legality of certain kinds of drugs.
Mr. Ryan, enjoy the football game. Thanks as always, and we'll have a chance to talk to you post facto about it next week. Thank you.
So I think we'll have quite a bit to talk about.
I imagine we will. Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe.